Hey, we are back. So excited to be back here today on the Niflos Habore podcast. This is Dr. Ari Grubner. Today, we are talking about the teeth. Really fascinating teeth, mouth, tongue, eating, talking, chewing, all of that kind of stuff. And to begin, I asked you, the listeners, a question. I don't know if I know the answer. I don't think anyone can say for sure that they know the answer, but why did God create human beings with two sets of teeth? There's nothing else like that. I mean, there are organs that we have two organs, right? We have two kidneys, we have two eyes, but teeth, to have one set in your youth and another set as you grow up, I think that's the only thing that we have like that. I mean, listen, something like skin, we have skin cells that are constantly regenerating throughout our entire lives. But, you know, so there's probably millions of sets, you can say, of skin cells. The skin cells are constantly dying off and new ones regenerating. But, you know, teeth are so unique in the fact that there's just two distinct sets, one for when you're a child and one for when you're older. Something I always thought about, and I put it out to you guys, and we got some fantastic answers. And stay tuned, because I asked Dr. Diamond this as well. He is a dentist. This is what he does, and he's got a great answer. To begin, I'd love to play a clip that I got an answer from my good friend, Mr. Naftali Minzer, fantastic PA in New York. Here we go.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to that one. Imagine trying to fit a adult set of teeth into a young child's mouth. That wouldn't work too well. It'll be all teeth and no tongue and no room for anything else.
Yes, Naftali, that is a fantastic point. If we would have, you know, you can think of it two ways. If we would have adult-sized teeth in a child, like Naftali pointed out, then it would just look ridiculous and it wouldn't fit in the mouth. And if we had baby teeth, which we kept for our entire lives, then as our bodies grew, these baby teeth would be too small and we wouldn't be able to eat a nice big steak or whatever else you enjoy eating. But it really begs the question, I think, why didn't God create babies with baby teeth, which the teeth could then continue to grow throughout a person's life? I mean, this is how every single, basically, organ in the body works, right? Babies are born with baby-sized kidneys and a baby-sized liver. And as the baby turns into an adult, the organ grows. Interesting point that there are maybe one or two exceptions to that rule. You know, there's maybe only one or two. We'll leave that as a trivia question. Please reach out to me if you have the answers or thoughts, and we can discuss it on the next episode. But basically, every single organ in the body grows with the person as the person grows. So, I mean, it begs the question, you know, in designing the human body, why couldn't the same thing be done with teeth? You know, have a baby set of teeth when you're a baby, but then have those teeth continue to grow throughout a person's lifetime. I mean, I think that still kind of remains as a question. Thank you so much to Baruch Berg from New York for pointing out to me and bringing to my attention this really interesting fact, you know, speaking about teeth growing with the person. Beavers have teeth which actually do grow throughout their lifetime. Human beings obviously do not have this, but Baruch Berg pointed out to me from the website atozanimals.com. Beavers eat a range of plants, twigs, and bark. This means their teeth must grow continuously so that they don't get worn down by chewing on wood all day. Really, really fascinating. Niflos Habore point here, which is that God did create some creatures with teeth that grow along with them, such as beavers, and that was very intentionally and intelligently done because beavers are chewing all the time on these hard substances. If they didn't have teeth that grew along with them, then their teeth would end up getting worn down. Such a fascinating, interesting point. But human beings do not have that. Thank you so much, Baruch Berg, for also bringing to my attention another fascinating point of you know, really animal anatomy. This is from the floridamuseum.edu. Sharks do not rely on two sets of teeth like humans. They actually have an endless supply of teeth with dentition that regenerates constantly throughout their lives. Another fascinating point. I don't have a great explanation, you know, for understanding this, why God did that for sharks, as opposed to the beavers who have teeth that just grow along with them. But basically, we kind of have three different models almost for dentition, for teeth. We have the human model where we just are given two sets, baby set, those fall out, and then we have our adult set, which we keep for the rest of our lives. Those teeth do not grow. They stay the same size, in contrast to almost entirely the rest of the body, which does grow with the human being. We have the beavers, which have teeth that constantly grow with them. And there, the reason presumably is because they're always chewing on wood and chewing on different things, that if their teeth would not grow constantly, then the opposite would happen. The teeth would just get worn down and disappear. And we have sharks that seem to have an endless supply of teeth. Really, really, really fascinating. Anyway, coming back to our original question, thank you, Naftali Minzer, for that fantastic answer. Here is another fantastic voice note. This is going to go into the Hall of Fame of voice notes, ladies and gentlemen. This is from my good friend Baruch Steinharder in New York. And here we go. Have a listen.
Ari, Ari, Baruch atah, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehechiyanu, V'kiyamanu, V'giyanu Lazman Hazeh. Just listen to the brand new podcast, Baruch Mechayim Esim, Shkoyach, Shkoyach, Shkoyach. By the way, I think that there's two sets of teeth because when we're kids, we have total disregard for dental hygiene by eating candies, and we're going to destroy them. So Hashem says, you know, you're going to destroy them anyways. Okay, no, no, I'll make disposable ones. You'll get another pier. Cult of.
That's amazing. Very apropos at this time of year, if you're listening to this in the month of Elul, coming up to the high holidays, coming right before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this is the time of tshuva. And Baruch, although it is a humorous voice note, but it's also very inspiring, and I think it is a mashal, a parable for our lives, that God gives us more than one chance. And I think it's funny. Your voice note is very funny, but also very deep. It's very deep that sometimes God gives us a second chance. I love that. I love that idea. Thank you. Some other important honorable mentions. Yossi Lichtenstein, my good friend, sent me a text saying, this is a great question. And then Yossi goes on to quote his friend Chaim Weiss, who is a dentist. Could be a few reasons. Kids are not great at taking care of their teeth, so they get cavities and then get a second chance. Also, teeth don't grow, so when the face is small, they have small teeth. When they grow up, they get larger teeth. Thank you, Chaim Weiss. I don't know who you are, but both of those answers are fantastic answers. I think one was said by Naftali Minzer, and the other one was basically said by Baruch Steinharder, and I love those. Those are both fantastic answers. Anyways, all of these are fantastic thoughts, and I appreciate the interaction and people reaching out to me. Continue to reach out. Questions, comments, anything. Thoughts about future episodes, niflosaborepodcast@gmail.com. You already know that it is the longest email address in the world. niflosaborepodcast@gmail.com. For now, listen up and sit back, relax, and enjoy my discussion with Baruch Diamond, Dr. Baruch Diamond. And stay tuned till the end where we discuss this very interesting question about two sets of teeth. Enjoy. All right, Dr. Diamond, what a pleasure to have you on the Niflo Sabori podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Grubner.
We got to start off with probably the most important question of all, and that is, what's the best dad joke or pun that a patient has said to you, something related to being a dentist or to teeth or something like that? This is probably my most important question. We can end after this, actually.
Good question. I do want to start with saying that, you know, back when we were in Neri Strala together, we both went to the undergrad program there. There's something that every Friday I used to go out and there were a bunch of surgeons. I used to just watch them do these intense surgeries. Some of the biggest oral surgeons in America, the serious reconstruction of the mouth, they used to take bone graft from the leg. And it was amazing to me. They would go through these huge cancer surgeries and they wouldn't come out. They would come out and the way they would talk would just be normal. And, you know, they wouldn't talk in the best way, let's say, in the most refined manner. And I used to always come back to Yeshiva and be like, what's going on over here? I mean, they don't see God's hand in all of this. They don't realize that, forget about God's hand. Like, they don't realize that they could be in the chair one day. And that's why your podcast really inspired me.
Thank you so much. Very kind. Thank you. Wow. So Tell us a little bit about what you do. I mean, I understand you're a dentist, but like, what's like a day like for you? Like, what are you busy with when you go to the office each day? What kind of stuff is going on? You know, we all have our experiences of when we personally go to the dentist, but what's a day look like for you?
Good question. So in dentistry, it's like a box full of surprises. You come in one day, everything is smooth sailing. You do a few fillings. But there are times where people come in with big infections, people come in with big issues, and, you know, you got to jump in. Every situation is different. People are very nervous and anxious, that adds to the whole situation, but there's serious infections, and people don't realize how dangerous it could be. And sometimes you just got to jump in. You got to figure out a way to get the patient either out of pain or out of a serious infection by draining it. You know, there's a lot of detail that goes into the mouth that people don't even realize, which is amazing. You look at God's hand and it's unbelievable.
Got it. Wow. Tell me a little bit more about that. What do you mean when you say a lot of detail into the mouth? Like what are the things about the mouth, the teeth, the tongue, or anything that makes you stop and gives you a sense of awe or makes you pause? You know, I know day to day is probably just day to day. You're filling cavities or doing what you do, but what aspects of it really make you stop and think or wonder?
To me, the biggest deal is going through anatomy class, dental anatomy. There's so much chachma that goes through to every single tooth. And, you know, every time you eat, people don't realize it, but did you ever think about it? When you bite into an apple, why doesn't the apple just basically fly off your tooth and smash into your gum on your front teeth? How is it possible? Your gums are soft. Why, when you bite into something hard, doesn't that food just hit up against your gum tissue and damage your gum tissue? What's preventing that from happening? So this is a weird exercise, but if you put your tongue to the top inside of your top teeth, you'll feel that your tooth is kind of concave. Like basically your tongue slips off a little ledge or bump at the end of your tooth.
Hold on. I'm going to do the exercise, but I want to make sure I understand the question that you're posing is why when we bite into something, let's say an apple, why doesn't the apple sink all the, why doesn't it cause like trauma or bother my gums, like the part that's correct on top of my teeth?
Correct. If you think about it, let's say you have a pair of scissors and you cut into something heavy or thick, it slides off the end of the scissors. And if there was something there that was blocking it, it would make it a lot harder to cut. Why is it when you bite on something, doesn't the food just basically break off and hit your gums?
Got it. So now we're back to the exercise. I've got my tongue sitting, the tip of my tongue, feeling the inside part of my upper teeth.
Yeah. So you have something on the inside over there.
Okay.
It's called a cingulum. Basically, when you eat an apple, it slides off of that and goes into your mouth. So when you bite into an apple, bite into a candy bar, the food slides off your tooth and doesn't damage your gum, because the way your teeth were built, they're not just a straight line, but there's like a concavity on the inside of the tooth. Think about it next time you eat an apple.
Cingulum. This is me. I am a doctor, but this is a word that I've never heard before, because we learned very, very, very little about the teeth. So the cingulum is that part of the tooth that kind of juts out that I'm feeling on the inside.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
And that prevents the food from hitting your gums. I mean, how often did a person think of that, or how did people even realize that? I mean, to me, it was unbelievable when I found that.
Wow. That is pretty cool.
So the second stage to that is, it's not just those teeth, it's your back teeth. All of your teeth are kind of inclined inwards, so that when you chew food, your cheek muscles and your teeth could actually have the food fall back into your mouth, so that your food doesn't end up outside your mouth while you're eating. There's so much that goes into this. Is just the eating. So when your dentist is sitting there crafting your tooth and building it up after he does a filling, after he drills out a cavity, he has to make sure that filling is done precisely and perfectly. Otherwise, it'll be back at the dentist a few weeks later with food getting stuck between your teeth, or, you know, just not being able to eat properly or function properly.
Wow. So you're almost, when you're filling a cavity, if I'm understanding, you're almost like redesigning a portion of the tooth sometimes,
And you have to make sure that you're able to redesign it the same way that God designed it. Otherwise, people end up coming back with issues. Is that basically
exactly what you're saying? And that's basically impossible, but we try to do it as perfect as we can. We try wow. to do it, try to build it up the way the tooth was originally when you got that tooth in your mouth.
Pretty cool. Are there other things looking at the mouth, teeth, or anything where you look at it and you just say, this was clearly designed by an intelligent being? This is not just something that showed up one day?
Yes, great question. I mean, I could go on and on for hours, but something else that really sticks out to me is, you know, I'll give you a case. Hopefully this podcast doesn't get back to this patient. Let's hope not, but
well, you can change. You can change some identifying factors so that
change some factors. There was a patient that came in a few weeks ago, and he told me he's having a lot of pain from one tooth. He told me, I want the tooth out. I told him we could probably save it. He said, I really want it out. I don't want to think about it. We listened to the patient. I mean, that is definitely one of the options.
So he had been having pain for a while? It was
for
pain
a while from that tooth, yeah. It was for a few weeks.
And what exactly, did you identify what the problem was or why he was having pain?
Well, he had a huge cavity. A big part of the tooth broke off. Could be lack of care, didn't take care of the tooth or the food that he was eating. But he had a cavity, bad cavity, was basically an infection. Cavities are infections. They're bacteria that cause the tooth to have pain, which is a whole different topic. But long story short, he comes in. I take out the tooth.
At the appointment. Okay. I actually want. I'm curious to know what a cavity. But we'll come back to it.
Back to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So he comes in. We take out the tooth. At the end of the appointment, he's like, "Dr. Diamond, I want all of my teeth out of my mouth." He's only 30 years old, this guy, and I want to get implants in the place of all of my teeth. Dental implants. What are dental implants? Dental implants are basically a titanium screw. We basically put it into the bone in place of a tooth, and we put a cap on there, and it acts like a tooth. It's supposed to act like a tooth.
So you screw in an artificial tooth. You screw it into the gum.
Exactly. It acts like a root, and then we put a cap, a crown, on top of that.
Does it look like a tooth?
Yes. It totally looks like a tooth. You can't even tell the difference if the dentist did a good job.
Got it.
So he told me he wants to move the implants. He's sick of his teeth. I told him you got great teeth. Now, what's the biggest misconception when people want to jump to implants? A lot of the advertisement now are implants. Implants are a great substitute for tooth, but I would never pull out a tooth just to put an implant there because you won't get cavities. Because the way Hashem made your tooth, think about it. The tooth is sitting within the gums that you see, that most people see, but below that gum is bone. There's bone holding in that tooth. Now, you know how a car, when you're driving a car, you go over bumps, there's a shock system so that your head's not hitting the roof of your car.
Got it. Like spring, car, like springs.
Springs, especially. Exactly. Shocks, spring system. So teeth actually have a built-in spring system around between the tooth and the bone. There's something called PDL space, periodontal ligament space. These ligaments attach the bone to the tooth, and there's like a million ligaments around each tooth, and it acts as a shock system, a spring system. So when you bite down into hard food or you're grinding your teeth, there's 2,000 pounds of pressure on your teeth, about 2,000 pounds.
Wow.
Research shows. So when you chew, when you grind, your teeth are actually moving around real, like microscopically, they're actually moving around. When you have a dental implant, it does not work that way. A dental implant is in the bone. The bone is holding onto that dental implant for dear life. And every time there's impact on that dental implant, it's going straight into your jawbone. And if that happens too much and there's too much trauma to that, the bone necroses, it dies. Masha Enkin, on the other side, teeth don't work that way. You have the PDL space, and that PDL space is a great, shock or
spring
retainer.
You are certainly teaching me stuff. I've never ever heard of that. So basically, we don't have the technology to duplicate the set of teeth that God gave us.
Exactly.
Do you see that if someone would come in? So first of all, if I'm understanding you correctly, like someone coming in saying, you know, I'm sick of brushing my teeth, I'm sick of caring for my teeth, just give me a set of implants, a set of artificial teeth. it sounds like that would almost be the equivalent. I mean, this is an extreme example, but like someone coming in saying, I'm sick of like taking care of my legs. Can you just give me artificial limbs and I'll, you know, they'll be plastic and they'll be much more durable and I won't have to worry about them. It sounds like it's similar, which is like, it would make no sense to want a replacement for something that you have naturally, that God has given you naturally in your body. That's the sense that I'm getting, is that obviously the leg case is a little bit more extreme, but
Yeah, Dr. Grubner, yeah, if it's anybody, it's you that knows how important each organ is. This whole podcast, I mean, every organ, the brain, the heart, every single thing makes a huge difference. But the more you learn about each thing, the more special you realize it is. I mean, it's amazing that nowadays they have so many ways to take the place of teeth with implants. And there are ways, and I do it in my office, of course, but function is so important for speech. Our wives are both speech pathologists, and speech makes a huge difference. And function, if you can't,
Maybe we should have them come on the podcast sometime.
Oh, 100%, yeah, and advocate about how important speech is. Is it the teeth or the speech? You know, yeah, it's a thing my wife and I always discuss. But the function is so important. If you cannot chew up your food correctly, you can't digest. You're not getting nutrition the way you're supposed to. It's the whole body. It's the whole body that's affected by your teeth. People can't chew normally. They're having a soft liquid diet. It has a toll on your whole body. You can't get the correct nutrition from, let's say, obviously too much red meat's not good, but you know, a little bit of red meat, it's just not good for a whole system. If there's anybody that can explain that, it's probably you. What's good for a system, what's not, you know? Smoothies and ice cream is not the best. No, not the best, but if that's all you're having.
Sure are tasty, though.
Yes.
have you actually had patients like that where someone, let's say, needed dental implants for whatever reason? Let's say all their teeth rotted and they needed artificial teeth. Have you had patients like that who come in after maybe months or years of having artificial teeth and now have other problems cropping up, like problems with the bone or the lack of the shock absorption? Or that's something maybe that you don't see till down the line?
Yeah, so... people without any teeth, I'll tell you, they lose a lot of weight within the first few months. You really see it. I have a book in my office. It's all about diet and what you could eat when you don't have teeth. Okay,
wow.
For people that can't even afford implants. But yeah, implants, I've seen people with just one implant in their mouth. The dentist didn't grind down the tooth to the right level. Okay, their bite was a little bit off and they were biting too heavy on that implant and the implant failed. Or the implant crown became loose. Usually when we're replacing an implant crown, we actually remove a little bit more tooth structure than the rest of the teeth. So when you're biting down, you're not biting as hard on that implant crown. Or if you grind, we give you a night guard to wear at night. It's a big deal. Big deal.
So I am not an expert by any means on the teeth. I'm probably somewhat ignorant about the teeth because we don't learn a lot about it in med school. And the reason is because we have you guys to care for the teeth. But one thing I've noticed just looking at the design, which is pretty simplistic, you know, I'm not coming from a dental background, but what I've noticed that's really cool, and I wonder if you could shed light on this or any thoughts about this, is the shape of your teeth, front teeth versus your back teeth. You know, going back to like we were talking about eating an apple, this wasn't my chiddush, this wasn't my idea. Someone pointed this out to me, but if you imagine that your front teeth were like flat, like your molars are, and your back teeth had like the sharp edge. So then you try to bite into an apple and you wouldn't be able to really like grab that piece out of it. And then as the food gets pushed back, you wouldn't be able to really mash the apple because it would be sharp in the back. So just that simple like little thing, looking at the organization of the teeth, I just thought that was really, really interesting and really cool. Like you see the design of how the front teeth are designed clearly by looking at them. They're designed, what are they called? Incisors, right?
Yeah, the incisors, correct.
They're designed for incision, for cutting something, for like ripping a piece off of it in the 100%. Back. So what are your thoughts? Is that something that you've thought about?
100%. I mean, that's exactly what dental anatomy is. That's all part of it. You bite into the apple, your front teeth are working as a knife, just grasping onto it. Your bottom jaw having the amount of strength to just push up and, you know, bite through the apple. The apple doesn't jam into your gums like we mentioned before. And then your tongue pushes it to the back teeth and you move it around and chew on it. If you ever think about it, if you take too big of a bite and you're sitting there like choking because your tongue doesn't have space to move the food, you realize then and you appreciate Hashem's work of the tongue usually being there so that you could move around the food. It's called the bolus, the food in your mouth, and be able to chew it, push it back into your mouth with the muscles on the side of your cheeks so you could chew on it a bit more.
That is pretty cool. And
It's a
the
real
jaw, just
art.
'cause it's pretty amazing. I mean, yeah, the design is ingenious. You mentioned the jaw, it just got me thinking too. The way the jaw is like it's a hinge joint, right?
It's a hinge, and nobody thinks about that.
It's
It
pretty
connects your
cool.
ears. Yeah, it's called the TMJ, temporomandibular joint. It's basically like your knees, but even more complex because your knees don't move side to side. They don't come totally out of
All right.
the socket. You can move your bottom jaw side to side, open, move
Pretty
it
cool.
forward. You can even move it forward.
It's
Yeah.
pretty cool. The only reason I have ever thought about that is because I've taken care of patients with a dislocated jaw, sometimes on one side, sometimes on both sides. And then the technique, you can Google it if someone wants to Google. The
Yeah.
technique is you kind of have to pop it back into place.
Pull
There's a
down
couple.
and push back.
Yeah,
Yep.
exactly.
Yeah.
A
It's
couple
very
different ways of
scary
doing
for the
it.
patients, but if you think about it, the joint's not actually attached to the joint's not attached to anything. There's a disc between your joint and your skull, and there's a bunch of muscles and ligaments holding it in place. So when it pops out of the spot, then you gotta just push it back into place.
Yeah.
Dr. Diamond, you and I have studied in yeshiva. We studied the Torah, the Bible. We studied the Talmud, and of course, studying the Book of God, you can ask questions. We can try to better understand it, and certainly people can offer different explanations. We can study some of the commentaries and try to get a better understanding of why would God say something like this when he could have said it like that, or if something was worded in a certain way. I like to think that I think we can do that something similar to that with the human body. I think doctor, dentist, or really anybody, you can look at the human body and you can ask, God in his infinite wisdom, why was it done like this way? Why not like that way? And of course, we can never really know, why did God do, but we can try to understand it. We can maybe offer explanations. So I've got you here with me, and you're not charging me by the hour. Right?
No,
Hopefully
not
not. So I got a couple questions about the teeth that I have thought of before, the teeth, the mouth, the tongue. And I have some theories, but I'm not an expert when it comes to these organs. I'm wondering what you think. You ready for it?
yet. Go for it.
All right, it's gonna be a three question test. If you pass the test, then what happens? You get a DDS after your name.
Yeah, buy me some ice
All
cream.
right, I'll buy you no candy, obviously, for a
Don't
dentist.
tell any of my patients.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So, question number one, the first thing, and this is something I've actually thought about before. I'm wondering if you've ever given it some thought. Maybe some of our listeners have given it some thought. As always, I just want to interject that if any of the listeners have any thoughts or answers or why, certain things are the way they are, always email me. It's the longest email address in the world, niflosaboripodcast@gmail.com. Niflo is the Bari podcast at gmail.com. Question number one. So, two sets of teeth. We've got our baby teeth and our adult teeth. When do they switch over? Starting around like 6, 7 years old, baby teeth start to
Yeah,
fall
about
out.
six, 7 years old, you usually find the teeth exfoliate, fall out,
Yeah.
and adult teeth start coming in.
All right. So, I've thought about the entire human body. We have like our skin. And of course, skin cells, individual microscopic cells, die and regrow and regenerate, and they die and they regenerate. Or the bones, our skeletal system. Bones are constantly dying and regrowing and regenerating. Of course, that happens on a microscopic level. Organs can even regenerate. We know the liver could regenerate. Of course, there's cells that die and regrow. But to have two separate sets, like two sets of the same organ, almost like one for your young age and one for your old age. Besides for the teeth, I don't think that exists, as far as I know, anywhere else in the body. And I think it's a very fairly decent question. It's like, why would God, Hashem, create the human body in that way? Have you ever given that any thought? Has that ever given you a moment of, yeah?
Yes, I definitely have given that some thought. And it's a really, really good question, you know.
I have my own theory, by the way, but I want to hear yours for sure. Go ahead.
I'm looking forward to hearing yours. I wonder if it's the same as mine, but I'll tell you the theory that I have. Obviously, God, I'm sure there's a lot more to it, but from what I learned through dental school and seeing patients, within dentistry, there are many different specialties. You go through dental school and then you can become an oral surgeon, you can become orthodontist, you can stay as a general dentist. But the first thing they teach us about orthodontics is growth and development, the way the body grows. Because straining your teeth is not the only thing about, when it comes to ortho, it's not just about straining your teeth. It's the whole, your whole smile, your whole face, your jaw. Some people's chins are a little bit further back than others. Some people are a little more forward than others. And people don't realize that. But
so you're saying an orthodontist is more than just straightening the teeth. They're the experts who kind of understand how the teeth fit into the mouth or fit.
100%. So until the 70s or 80s, it was always just straightening your teeth. It's not like that anymore. Now it's like your whole side profile, your front profile of your face, and, you know, and people looking at you from every angle. Your smile, actually, I don't want to get too much into it. It's a whole topic in itself, but if your teeth were too long or your teeth were too short, if your teeth were too long and you tried talking, your teeth would hit before you'd be able to talk. Or when you would chew, you would have loud clinking sounds. And that's why when people have dentures made the wrong way, if you ever sat next to somebody with a denture, it sounds like sometimes their teeth are hitting a little bit hard. It sounds funny.
Hold on. Pay attention. I want to hone in on that for a second, because that's an interesting point. You're saying if the teeth would be longer than they are, we wouldn't be able to talk?
We wouldn't be able to talk clearly. So example, say count from 50 to 55, 50, 51, 52, 53. Your upper teeth are hitting your lip very, very lightly. It's called the vermilion border, a space on your lip. When you count those numbers, in order to make that F sound, your teeth are actually hitting your lip.
Teeth and again, are, let me give it a try. 50. Yeah. So my bottom teeth are hitting my top lip. Is that what you're saying?
Your top teeth are hitting your bottom lip.
Correct. Sorry, I said that wrong. My top teeth are hitting my bottom lip to make the F sound. 50.
Right. So if think about it, let's say a person loses their teeth. They have to come up with a new way of speaking. It's really difficult to speak. So teeth have to be the right height.
Or if they would be too long. Okay, got it. Okay.
Too long, or they're sticking out too much. They're sticking in. They're intruding too much. I mean, there's so much to it.
They're really perfectly formulated. Okay, yeah. Going back to the two sets.
Going back to growth and development, the way Hashem created your body, and you could probably tell me this because you work with pedo, you work with kids, is that from the head to toes, the head grows the least. The toes going down to your toes, they grow the most. So, for example, your arms, your legs grow a lot more than your head grows throughout the development of your body. Same thing with the maxilla, the top jaw and the bottom jaw. The bottom jaw grows a lot more than the top jaw does. So if you think about it, when the first baby teeth come in at 6 months old, they're small teeth, and teeth are the strongest bone in the whole body. Believe it or not, they're the strongest bone. People always say my teeth are genetically soft. They're not genetically soft. Your teeth are stronger than any bone in your body, and they don't regenerate. They don't completely regenerate like every other organ in your body. Every other organ in your body, the liver, the heart, I'm assuming, grows from when you're 6 months old until you're 12 years old.
For sure.
Your teeth, yeah. So your teeth, they come in, but they don't, the teeth itself, they don't grow wider, longer.
Mm-hmm. You get what you get. So the size that they are, that's the size mm-hmm. they remain.
Exactly. So if you look at a child's teeth at 4, 5, 6 years old, you actually see as the jaw grows, you see spaces develop between all of their front teeth. Look closely next time at your child or somebody else, and you'll see that the teeth develop a space. That space actually has a name. It's called primate spaces. Primate for primary. Primary, mm-hmm. your primary teeth, they actually develop spaces. And when those teeth fall out, now you have more space for the adult teeth to come out. And those adult teeth, again, you only get one, you get that one set, and they are the size they are. They don't regenerate like the bones in your body. Your bones, I mean, you tell me about the bones in the body. I think there's a cell the cells continuously regenerate.
Right.
Teeth don't work that way.
So you're saying that because the teeth, you know, stay the same size as they are, if we would be given, if we were born with adult teeth, they wouldn't fit into our mouth, basically. So
correct.
We had to be born with baby teeth. But if we kept those baby teeth as we got larger and larger and our jaw and our face grows, then the spaces in between those teeth would just become too large and we wouldn't be able to eat or talk or do anything. It has to be this way, essentially, that we need exactly. that second set to come in.
Yeah, you just threw that in, but that was very important. Talk, speech. I mean, our wives are both speech pathologists.
Yeah.
They both actually did some training together. It's pretty funny. Yeah. But speech, if there's spaces between the teeth, I'm assuming there are some sounds, probably the S sound or other sounds that wouldn't come out correctly because the air would just flow through between the teeth and not through the correct area.
Probably true. I mean, we'll have to fact check that later.
Exactly.
But okay, fascinating, fascinating. So around 6, 7, 8 years old, as the face and mouth and jaw grows, that's the time when our baby teeth are going to have too big. The spaces will be too big. So Hashem made it that we have these adult set come in. And that's kind of what you're saying, was you need these two sets. That's pretty amazing. Pretty mind-blowing. Wow. Wow. So
I had your own, tell me.
I had my own theory, not as sophisticated as yours. But I, you know, I work with kids. I'm a pediatrician. I see kids come in all the time for broken teeth, especially the front two, the upper incisors, all the time. You know, kids fall or they get hit in the head or they're playing around. You know, they're just all over the place. And that was just my thought. I mean, it's very simplistic, not super sophisticated, but, you know, I've just maybe, you know, Hashem recognized that kids are, you know, crazy, for lack of a better word. Kids are wild. And maybe God just said, like, hey, we're going to need a backup plan. And that's true, because when I see kids come in and they chip their tooth and they're 4 or 5 years old, you tell me if this is correct. But, you know, I tell them, yeah, you should go see your dentist and maybe you'll do x-rays and make sure there's nothing more damage. But the tooth itself, as long as it's not bothering them, my understanding is you don't have to worry much. You know, like, it's going to fall out anyway. So I always just feel like it's like Hashem's way of saying, like, it's almost like a second chance. I feel like it's inspiring. You know, you get a second chance in life. Everything else, you just get one. But with your teeth, it's like, don't worry. You mess up when you're 5 years old. The backup plan. What do you think?
No, that's a really good point. I mean, actually, there's a thing where a young kid, usually 1 or 2 years old, if they knock their teeth in, they fall down like some steps and they knock their front teeth in, they actually... If you take photos and you see there's no broken areas in the tooth, we actually let it start growing out on its own. It actually starts to come out on its own and go to the right spot. It's amazing wow. how Hashem has made the body. But I will say one thing. You know, patients come in all the time and they tell me, who cares if my child has cavities? The teeth are going to fall out. But that's a very wrong statement. And I thought that myself originally. But these infections are horrible for the gums, for the whole body systemically, and uh-huh. they could even have an effect on the adult teeth. I mean, you have to, shemoras nafshecha, right? I mean, you have to really take care of those baby teeth. Breaking your baby teeth could also have an effect. If you really hit it hard, it could damage the adult teeth. You'll be surprised, but I do have 7 or 8-year-olds with brand new teeth break their teeth.
Yeah, well, you know.
Unfortunate, but not as often, correct.
Not as often. And there's a limit to how many chances you get, you know.
Yes, but, exactly.
But 100%, I hear what you're saying. You're saying even though it's true to an extent that, like, your baby teeth is like your practiced set and then you have your adult teeth as your backup, but obviously you shouldn't treat your baby teeth like garbage, because cavities, infections, trauma, all those things can cause more effects than we think. I'm understanding what you're saying. That's
100%. Yes.
Definitely makes sense. Okay. Question number 2. I feel like you kind of answered this actually, but we'll pose it anyway, because I told you it's going to be a 3-question test. You can't drop a question. Question number 2 is about the wisdom teeth. So first of all, if you can just remind me, when do those come in? When do your wisdom teeth come in?
Yeah, usually late teenage years. Some people they come in at 25, 30. I just had a 30-year-old call me this morning. She said that her wisdom teeth is starting to pop too. Should she be concerned? But no, it's normal. You know, some people, they're just, you know, just takes a little bit longer. But yeah, go ahead.
So the question is, I mean, it's similar to my first question, but like, is there, I think you answered already, but is there a reason that you could think of for that? Like, it seems like such a weird timing. Like, we already had our baby teeth fall out. We got our adult set of teeth. And then it's like a few years later, you know, whatever it is, 5, 10, 20 years later, it's like, oh, by the way, we've got more teeth coming. I feel like a baby again, you know, like teeth coming.
No, so it's not exactly what I said before. Wisdom teeth, I believe what you said about primary teeth are 100% true about wisdom teeth. Nowadays, they have done studies, and it used to be the skulls had more space. People had more space for a third tooth in their mouth, okay, a wisdom tooth. But people over time, bodies have changed. We don't eat the same type of diet. There's a whole book about it called Breathe, and it makes a lot of sense, even from the Yiddish cut.
What's the book called?
It's called Breathe.
Breathe.
Yeah, and it's all about the way we're supposed to breathe. It talks about the kind of foods they used to eat back in the day. They didn't have refined foods. They used to eat a lot of hard foods. And because of that, their jaw developed differently from when they were a child to when they got older. Their jaws were bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Their jaws had a little more strength. And because their jaws were bigger, the third molar fit in. But nowadays, there's a whole new shot. You can say exactly what you said. Let's say somebody didn't take care of their teeth.
Hold on. I'm sorry to cut you off just about. So first of all, third molar is the same thing as wisdom teeth when you say your third molar.
Yeah.
Got it.
Third molar. You have three molars on each quad of your mouth. So in your mouth, you all together, you have six on the bottom, okay, six on top.
Got it. So the third molar is the wisdom teeth. And if so, what you're saying is, so did you answer the question or
I'm going to get to the answer. Okay. The answer is what you said before, Hashem. I believe nowadays it's like a second chance, kind of. You shouldn't take this risk. But I have had kids come in at 14 years old, super young. Their second molars had huge decay in it.
Uh-huh.
And I saved the tooth. We extracted the tooth and the third molar grew in and moved all the way up forward into the second molar's airspace. So that's exactly what you were saying before, a second chance. I mean, it works as a second chance, but you definitely shouldn't bank on it.
Got it. So maybe it's like a third chance, really. Third molar, yeah. Your third chance on your third molar. It sounds poetic.
and talking about wisdom teeth, sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but talking about wisdom teeth, somebody came to show to me in a few months ago and said, is there a reason why they're called wisdom teeth?
Yeah.
And he went on a whole drush, and I can't remember who he brought it down from, but there are svarim that talk about the fact that every single tooth in your mouth has a different level, spiritual level. And for some reason, it comes somewhere in the Torah. It does talk about the wisdom teeth being called wisdom teeth because they have a special chachma.
Wow.
I mean, I guess I lost that chachma when I got my wisdom teeth removed when I was 18 years old.
I had mine removed too, but we got to figure out where that source is and who says that. That's fascinating.
If anybody knows the source, please comment on Spotify. And if you could, could you comment?
Give us a 5-star rating. Make sure you comment.
Give us a 5-star rating, correct.
So I'm so curious. Is that your own little trick that you said you take out? If the second molar, your back molar is rotted, you pull it out, and then when the wisdom tooth comes in, it just slides into place? Or that's like a...
I've done that with one patient. The tooth is starting to grow in, and the wisdom tooth is coming in sooner than it was supposed to. I have another patient I just did it on 2 weeks ago, and took x-rays. I don't even see the third molar coming in yet, but we're hoping on it. We couldn't save the molar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay. So far, you have answered two questions correctly. I'm just kidding. I don't know what the correct answer is. Question number three. This is something that I really find fascinating. I think it's difficult to really answer unless you have, who knows? We'll see. This came to the forefront without getting into politics, without getting into people leaving angry comments about COVID and masks and Fauci, to leave this totally neutral. But this came into the forefront when people started masking. And it got me thinking, you know, like, forget masks and if they work and we know. But obviously, it's clear that the particles in our mouth, when we sneeze or cough or talk, there are particles in our mouth that end up in the air and could theoretically, if there's an infection, those particles could theoretically end up in the air, in someone else's eyes, in someone else's nose, in someone else's mouth, and we can infect that other person, right? Like someone is sick, they cough or sneeze, the next person gets sick. And it really got me thinking, like, hey, the mouth, you know, we'll call it like the oropharynx, the mouth and the throat, it's really like it serves so many purposes. You know, it's what we use to talk. So I'm talking to you. It's what we use to breathe. It's what we use to eat. So the back of the mouth, you know, the mouth itself is the opening in the front, but in the back of the throat, we've got like the two pipes almost. You have the esophagus, which just carries food. You have the trachea, which carries your air. So it's used for facial expression, which, you know, but really those first three things is what's really fascinating to me. It's like, it's talking with our tongue and our teeth. It's eating, it's breathing, all of those things from a single opening. I mean, theoretically, I've had this question, like, could we design a human being where breathing is maybe out of the hole, like on top of the person's head, that's where they breathe from.
Like a whale, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly like a whale. Okay. I don't know what, are they breathing when they shoot out the water?
I don't know what's going on in there,
Is it like a super soaker just to like
get? Yeah, you have to bring out a vet if you can find from vet, you know?
Yeah. But that, you know, you could theoretically conceptualize like, hey, imagine we breathe out of a hole on the top of her head. So then we're not breathing or coughing on anybody. Maybe we'll eat through a hole in the back of our head. And, you know, that's where I'll put food. And then I'll talk to you. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Just something interesting that Hashem created us with this opening that does so many different things, to the point where it can pose issues almost at certain times if someone's coughing or sneezing or, yeah. What do you think?
This is something I think I'm going to be thinking about it for the next few weeks at least.
Oh, I have one more. I don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead. Yeah, one more part
to make it even a stronger kasha, even a stronger question is, you know, I mentioned in the back of the throat is you have the esophagus and the trachea. One pipe, the esophagus is like this tube or pipe, which carries food. And the trachea is where we breathe, leads to our lungs. Those two pipes are immediately next to each other. And there's potential for choking. I mean, we know there's, you know, I don't remember if I talked about this in another podcast, but the epiglottis is like a covering which protects from choking. But, you know, to design a system where the food is literally going within millimeters of the trachea, which we need open to breathe, and people do end up choking. So I think that just strengthens the question even more. Like, why don't I have two separate total systems? One place is for eating and the other place is for breathing, and they never overlap. Okay. Now I'll let you talk.
This is a great question. This is a great question. I'm happy you spend a lot of time asking the question, so I have a few seconds to think about it. And
you can please us there.
I'll start by saying I have a very close family member, relative of mine, that when she was a teenager, she lost all of her hair. It's called alopecia.
Okay.
And there's no real known reason for it that I know of. She lost her hair.
It could be autoimmune. I think there are.
It could be autoimmune. Okay, I'll have to send her to you then. But, you know, 6 months after she lost all of her hair, she was talking to her father, and I overheard a conversation, and it really inspired me. This is great for Nifilos Abore podcast. Her eyelashes and her eyebrows had fell out, and she was walking in the rain. Or every time she would walk and there's dirt in the air, her eyes, the water would just drip right into her eyes because the eyelashes and the eyebrows weren't there. I mean, if it was somebody that was born without hair, they wouldn't know that, that the eyelashes were protecting it. But she noticed it herself because 6 months ago, water was being blocked from falling into her eyes from the eyelashes. So obviously, every single detail in a person's body is there for a reason. Our eyelashes and our eyebrows are there for a reason.
Wow.
So I just thinking about the question that you asked, why doesn't the air come out of our head? So let me ask you, Ari, what happens when you have a really, Dr. Grubner, what happens when you have a really bad cold? What happens? Could you breathe through your nose?
Nope. Get stuffed up.
You can't breathe through your nose. So what's like, I wouldn't say backup, but what's the other way you can breathe is through your mouth.
Yeah.
When I mentioned the book Breathe before, the whole book is talking about the fact that a person should only really be breathing through their nose. And that's the way humans used to breathe. They used to breathe through their nose. And it's an interesting book. It's worth reading. But breathing, when you read it, breathe through your nose, you probably know more about this, but you have like hair in your nose, which actually like purifies the air.
Yeah.
So really true. we do have an area we're breathing from.
Yeah. But, and babies are obligate nasal breathers. Babies automatic, their default as a baby, they automatically breathe through their nose. You'll ever see if like a newborn baby gets a stuffed up nose, they're in bad shape. Cause I don't know. They're just, that's the way that they're.
Yeah. I never really thought about that, but that's the way we're supposed to be breathing our whole life. According to this book, you have more refined air. It's better for our health. It's better for, so you don't grind your teeth at night. There's so much to it. I could really go on and on, but breathing through your nose really relaxes your body more as well. So Hashem did make a second place to breathe from your nose. But I think if that was the primary place and you cannot breathe through your mouth at all, let's say your nose gets stuffed up or the area you're breathing from gets stuffed up. Is there a backup plan? So Hashem gave us a backup plan. Because breathing, like you mentioned in your past podcast, breathing is one of the most important things for the brain. For the heart, you need that oxygen. You need, you know, it's bringing life. It's bringing life to you, you know.
Yeah.
Ruach apenu. I mean, it's bringing life to our body. So that's why I believe a mouth is just like a. I believe it's the backup breathing area. So it's actually amazing.
Well, you're
I'll turn around the question to you. It's amazing. How is it possible that we're doing three things from a mouth? It just shows more that it's obviously God's creation. And not Elon Musk's creation, you know?
I gotcha. I will say disclaimers that you're biased to say that the mouth's primary purpose is for eating and not for breathing. If I would get a pulmonologist, a lung doctor on here, maybe you would have something
that's true. I am biased.
All right. To close out, what are some things you wish people knew more about the teeth? Or, you know, if you have an opportunity to just say like, hey, everyone should know, fill in the blank. It could be something inspiring. It could be something about health and maintaining good dental health. What do you got? What would you share?
Brushing your teeth will really strengthen your teeth, prevent the bacteria from causing cavity. That's why oral hygiene and flossing, where the food is getting stuck, is the most important thing. I wish people knew that your teeth are the strongest thing, to answer your question, and that you could, no matter what kind of genetics you have or the genetics you think you have, or no matter how bad your parents' teeth were, if you take care of your teeth and you brush your teeth, you will actually break that cycle and you could hold on to your teeth for your whole entire life. And beautiful. I have a 95-year-old patient. He has cavities, but he has every single tooth in his mouth.
Beautiful, beautiful, inspiring. Dr. Diamond, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
And, Dr. Gerbner, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. And the one person I think would be the most proud of you would be Rabbi Victor Miller, because he was all about looking at things and understanding things.
I know. I wish he's not alive, unfortunately, but I wish we could have gotten him on the podcast. He's definitely an inspiration for me. Thank you so much. Great speaking with you. And good luck with everything. Thanks so much for joining me on another episode of the Niflo Sabori podcast. This episode, you heard me sitting down and talking with an amazing dentist named Baruch Diamond. Also goes by Barry Diamond. If you're in Cleveland, check him out. Check out his website. He does great, great, great work. And he's a real, real, deep, sincere, amazing Jew. Join us next time as we explore another system, another part of the human body. We delve into the Niflo Sabori, the wonders of God's creations. As always, this is Dr. Ari Grubner. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please reach out to me. Join us next time.